Always keeping the main thing, thanking God for Jesus Christ, thanking God for the Holy Spirit, thanking God for his angels who watch over us, thanking God for his church, thanking God for this congregation, thanking God for the leaders of this congregation, thanking God for this morning that he gave us, that he didn't have to do what he did. He gave us this morning for us to come out here in spirit and in truth and worship him in spirit and in truth. We just praise him and we thank him for all that he's done. My prayer is that God will remove anything that might hinder our worship. May he bless our ears of hearing, hearts of receiving, and our wills to obey. Our lesson is taken this morning from 1 Kings, the 16th chapter. What was read to you was verse 30 and 31. I would like to read from verse 30 to 33. 1 Kings, 16th chapter, verse 30 through 33. And it reads, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sons of Jeroboam and the sons of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshiped him. And he reared up an altar of Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." My subject this morning is a Jezebel spirit, a Jezebel spirit. Ahab and Jezebel were a powerful yet controversial royal couple in the Old Testament. Ahab, the seventh king of Israel, made Jezebel, a Sidonian prince, his wife, which strengthened his kingdom but also introduced the worship of Baal, or some will say Baal and Asherah, challenging the worship of Yahweh. Jezebel, known for her strong will and influence, actively promoted Baal worship and suppressed the worship of Yahweh, even orchestrated the death of the prophets who opposed her. Ahab, the king of Israel, married Jezebel, the daughter of King Ethbaal of Sidon. This marriage, while politically advantageous, brought a significant religious and social change in Israel. Jezebel is depicted as manipulating, tongue-tied, Ahab and leading him and the nation away from God. Her actions led to a severe religious conflict, with the worship of Baal and Asherah being established in Israel while the prophets of Yahweh were persecuted and killed. Obadiah, a high-ranking official in King Ahab's palace, hid 100 prophets of the Lord from Jezebel. One notable event during the reign was the episode involving Naboth's vineyard. Ahab coveted Naboth's vineyard, but Naboth refused to sell it because it was his inheritance. Jezebel, seeing her husband's disappointment, orchestrated Naboth's false accusation and execution so Ahab could seize the vineyard. The prophet Elijah confronted Ahab and Jezebel about their actions, prophesying divine judgment and punishment for their deeds. Jezebel's reign and her influence on Ahab ultimately led to a period of spiritual decline and conflict in Israel. There was a showdown on Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal against Elijah, 1 Kings 18, involved a challenge to see whose God could send down fire from heaven and consume the sacrifice. When the prophets of Baal failed and Yahweh, the God of Israel, succeeded, Elijah commanded the people to seize the prophets of Baal, and they were then executed at the brook Kishon, about 450. After Elijah killed the prophets of Baal, Jezebel sent a messenger to him saying that she would make his life like the life of one of those prophets by the next day. She even invoked a curse upon herself. If she failed to do so, she said, "May the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, this time." Elijah ran for his life. Jehu, leading a revolt against Ahab's dynasty, kills Ahab's son Jehoram and then confronted Jezebel. Jezebel, despite her fate, defiantly dressed up in finery and makeup before being thrown from a window. She was then trampled by Jehu's horses, and her body was devoured by dogs, fulfilling Elijah's prophecy. Jezebel has become associated with a Jezebel spirit, which is associated with demonic manipulation, seduction, and the promotion of idolatry and sexual immorality. Proverbs 21:9 said, "It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." And I'm not talking about none of you, all right? Proverbs 21:19, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." I'm led to believe that the type of woman Jezebel was the type of woman Proverbs spoke about. There was a story about a couple, and they had problems in their marriage, and they took up counseling. And they were counseled for a while, and this particular time they went into counseling, the counselor said he's going to do something different. So he came in, and he said, "First, I'm going to divide you. I'm going to divide you up. I would like to speak with the head of the house first. Would the head of the house come in with me?" The lady stand up as she went in. After that, he came back and got the man. He said, "Come in." And he came in. He said, "I thought you were the head of the house." He said, "I am head of the house when she ain't home." You see, Ahab was a king. Jezebel was a queen. Ahab was supposed to be head of Jezebel, and Jezebel was supposed to submit herself unto her husband and king. But Jezebel's demonic manipulation was stronger than Ahab's will. She led him astray instead of him leading her in the way. He built her an altar of Baal in Samaria and worshiped with her. He turned his back on God. He was willing to do anything good or bad for Jezebel, and Jezebel was willing to do anything good or bad for Ahab. They too were a good example of being wrong. They spoiled one another. And you know that's a bad thing when grown-ups are spoiled. When a child is spoiled, parents sometimes spoil their kids. And their kids usually think because the parents have spoiled them that everybody is supposed to join in and give them exactly what they want. And believe it or not, some people have grown up with that idea of getting everything that they want. 1 Kings 21, I want to show you what kind of man Ahab was. Turn with me to 1 Kings 21. I will be reading from 1 through 16. The Bible says, "It came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seems good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. Verse 4. Look at Ahab now. Take a good look at him. And he came into his house heavy and displeased because of the words of Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my father. And he said, he laid him down upon the bed and turned aside his face and wouldn't eat. Soft shell of a man. That's what Ahab was. He couldn't get his way, so he's going to whimper and cry like a crybaby because he couldn't get his way. You see, that's a spoiled person. This was a grown man. This man was a king of Israel, God's people. But he whimpered because a man didn't give him a, are you with me? Anybody, are y'all with me? You see, this man, he whimpered because he couldn't have his way. But look what his wife said. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so bad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spoke to Naboth and of Jezebel, and he said to me, I said to him, Give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. In other words, he was a whimpering man. His wife came to him and said, What's wrong with you? You are the king of Israel. Why are you whimpering like that? Why? He said, Because that man won't do what I asked him to do. And he whimpered. And Jezebel said, Just move out the way. Are you with me? Relax and watch me work. Are you with me? He said, move. You know how it is. Sometimes when we get to a situation that we can't do, someone said, Move out the way. I'll do it. Are you with me? Move. Just move out the way. I'll do it. And this is what Jezebel told him. And today, this is what's happening today with us men. Some of us are just soft-shelled. Wherein the women, that's why you have a lot of women preachers. You have a lot of women apostles, women prophets, women deacons, women elders. Are you with me? That God didn't, that's not what God expected. He expected us to get up because we are the men. He made us to be in the head. But since we get up to bat and we keep striking out, the women say, move out the way. Let me get a hit. Are you with me? Just move aside. Let me show you how to do it. Verse 8. So she wrote a letter in Ahab's name and sealed it with his seal and sent the letter unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. Now she's doing some what? She's doing some, what they call it? You write, huh? Forging. You know, she's doing some forging now. She's going to get what she wants for her man. Since he's so sorry he can't get it. Are you with me? He going to get it. She's going to get it for him. And she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying that thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. Now they sent two men of Belial. That word Belial is a word, a scoundrel, a no good person. She sent two no good person to do this deed. This was an evil woman. She was evil. And the men of the city, even the elders of the nobles who were in the inhabitants in the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. And as it was written in the letter which she had sent unto them, they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in the two children of Belial and set before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him out forth of the city and stoned him with stones, and he died. And they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel had heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that she said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, of Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee money for. This man is now dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up and go down, and he went down to the vineyard of Naboth and take possession, after Jezebel had done what she's doing. She said, honey, you're the king. You know, I'm not going to let you make us look bad. I'm going to get this thing for you. I'm going to get this for you. Honey, this is what you want, this is what you're going to get. By hook or by crook. If I have to lie, cheat, steal, rob, or kill, you're going to get what you want because you're my honey, my king. You see, being the head of the house, it's not just a title. It's not just a title, but it's a role that carries significant responsibilities and duties and sometimes challenges. Jesus gave us a great example of headship and marriage. You see, he gave us this today for us men to not be soft shell, but be men. We're supposed to be the one who, when the house gets cold, we go and cut the wood and bring the wood in. Not telling the wife, I don't feel like it today. We're supposed to be that man. And in the church, we're supposed to be the men, the leaders. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, as I close. The 5th chapter, and I'm going to be reading from verse 21 through 33. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 21 through 33. And it reads, this is the example that Jesus has given us, Christian, us men, us leaders. Submit yourself one to another in the fear of God. That means submit yourself to God and one to another. To God and one to another. That's the cross. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or anything such, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man never ever yet hate his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall join unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I spake concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. A Jezebel spirit. Jezebel and Ahab were on the wrong track, looking for the wrong thing, taking a shortcut to get nowhere. God has made us not to fall for the Jezebel spirit, but he's made us to be leaders and guiders in his kingdom. It's a job. It's a job, you know, because, you know, being married, I've been married for a while, and I can speak about myself. You know, sometimes, you know, we just give in, you know, because the wife is making such a ruckus. Not you. I'm talking about me and my wife. Not y'all. All right, make such a rush. So you say, you know, I'm gonna spoil you. Okay, I'm gonna do it because I ain't got it. Don't want to hear all that. I'm gonna do it, right? But we got to be careful about that because if it's the wrong thing, we shouldn't do it. She can scream all she wants, right? Amen. But if it's the wrong thing, don't do it. Don't lose your soul. I love you, sisters. I really do. Honestly, I do. Right? But the Jezebel spirit, be careful, be careful, be careful about that. I'm going to shut up because it's done. Amen? If you are here and you are not a member of the church, there are steps you must take to become a member. You must hear God's word. You must believe God's word that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He came from heaven and born of a virgin, lived in the flesh, suffered and died on a cross, and the third day rose with all powers in his hands. We must repent of our ways. Repent means to turn around. If you feel as though, if you know you're on the wrong road and you keep going, repent means to do more than just stop going. Repent means to turn around and come this way, come the right way. That's what repent means, to turn around, not just stop. You know, I don't drink no more. So turn around and come to God. I don't do drugs no more. Well, turn around and come to God. I don't commit adultery no more, but turn around and come to God. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Be baptized in water for remission of sin. After that, stay faithful in God's grace. Stay faithful. Keep on coming. Don't give up. You know, my dad used to tell me this, right? And I'm not giving this to you. I'm just saying what he said. He said, Kenny, don't never give up. Give out. You just say, I know that don't mean nothing to y'all, but it meant something to me. And I knew what he was saying. I knew what he was saying. We must do these things. We must worship. We must give. We must teach. We must be able to be taught. We must increase in our faith. We must, above all these musts, love. If you don't have love, you ain't got nothing going. It's a must. It has to be love. It has to be the real love. Not that love that you look at TV and, you know, so forth and so on. And amen. But it's a love that's of God. A love that's strong. That a love that you know about someone who went to a cross for in my place. I was a sinner and I had deserved hell, but a man got on that cross for me and died in my stead so that I might be free. And I ain't never done nothing for him before, but he just out of nowhere done something for me. If you are here and you are a member and you are in need of prayer, as we together stand and sing the song that was the invitation, you may ask for prayer at this time.